Final hour, we're going to finish strong here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good morning to you. Live across the country from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. Coming up in our final hour, we're going to bring in everyone and make our predictions for what will happen this season in the AFC. In 20 minutes, we've also got some last-second fantasy advice for you. If for some reason you haven't started yet to draft your team, you're doing it soon, don't worry. We've got Brad Evans here from BetMGM tonight. And as we always do, we wrap things up with our favorite plays and a visit from the Donkster at 8:40. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium during our final hour. Appreciate you being along with us. You can stream our final hour on the Bally Sports Live app or on ballysportslive.com. So the entire show, we've been previewing what to expect this season in the American Football Conference. Of course, we get Thursday night's opener, Eagles, Cowboys in Dallas, but we're going to bring in everyone here and make our particular predictions for every division, conference champion. So, Chelsea, I'll start with you. Let's start with the AFC East, and then we'll bring in Double D and D-Day as well. What do you think? AFC East champion.
Yeah, if we're doing this based on just, like, who we think is going to win and not based on, like, a bet that I'm going to make, because, listen, it's going to be chalk city when it comes to my division winners, but that's how I think it's going to play out, and it's going to be that way in the AFC East. Who do we think is toppling the Bills? Feels to me like the Bills are a regular season juggernaut. All the questions, like, wake me up in January if you want to have questions about the Bills, because it feels like that's when the real question marks start. Josh Allen feels like obviously a proven commodity to me and somebody who's going to put up great regular season numbers every single year, as we saw last year, as the MVP. Plus, they added some pieces on the defense. If Joey Bosa can stay on the field, he will be a big addition to that defense, and that was one of their problems last year, is getting after the quarterback. So I think I'm going to go with the Bills here. It feels like the only answer.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be close. It's the Bills and everyone else. Their win total is set at 12.5. And even if their defense isn't better this year, which is the real issue for them, right? Like, will they stay healthy once they get their guys back from suspension? Can Bosa finally play a full slate? But they certainly have the offense. They scored the second most points per game last year in the National Football League. They have the reigning MVP. This division is weak, so it's the Bills. Double D, you want to chime in here, bud? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, fair. Ben, what do you think?
I'm going to go the Bills, too. Not a lot of shaking things up here with the AFC East, unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel like we're all... I mean, who else are you going to choose? The Jets, Patriots. They seem to be a year away, at least. So... let's go to the AFC West now, Chelsea. Where are you headed?
Nah, I know this is not fun, sexy, or exciting. And in fact, some people are probably going to roll their eyes. But can we really say it's going to be another team beside the Kansas City Chiefs? This is the king of the mountain until somebody proves otherwise. And we've had years where people have tried to say this. Oh, the Broncos are going to be good this year with Russell Wilson. How did that turn out? And I understand people love to bet on Justin Herbert. And listen, the Chargers have a lot of good pieces. Maybe not on the offensive line anymore since Rashawn Slater is now out. But still, I think it's going to be the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. They are the kings of that division until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. Don't make me defend the Chiefs. Like this whole, oh, it's over for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, I think we're all realizing, I told you I heard this in the comments, we're all realizing this guy just sort of drives the car. He's just a game manager. And I thought, my head's going to explode. Like the fact that people take one game against the Eagles and act like the Chiefs suddenly forgot how to play football. Yeah, it was a bad game. It's still the Chiefs. They are still the class of the division. And I think the other teams are now making it more competitive. Finally, it's taken forever, but it's Kansas City.
Absolutely.
Double D.
Think the six games without Rashid Rice makes a difference in this division. I think Kansas City will be lucky to go 500 in those six games. Whoa. I think the Chargers take this division this year, not by a lot, because I think the Chiefs, after Rashid Rice comes back, go on a run, but I think they win this division by a game.
The problem is the Chargers don't even get a home game against the Chiefs. That's tough. Like, if I'm a Chargers fan, I'm mad about that, because their first game of the season in Brazil is their quote-unquote home game. So tough scheduling luck for the Chargers there.
D-Day.
To be fair, the Chargers don't get home games against anybody, but that's, you know, I digress. I'm going to keep it boring. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the blessing of Mother Swift, so I think the Chiefs get it done.
Mm.
Mother Swift. It goes a long way. Okay, here we go. AFC North. Is this another obvious answer? It certainly feels that way.
That's right. It feels like the regular season juggernauts of the Baltimore Ravens here. Because, again, same deal as the Bills, where, you know, you don't have any question marks about the team until it comes to the playoffs. You know, you say, okay, can they really get out of the AFC and topple the Chiefs? So the Ravens feel like they're a team built for the regular season. Lamar Jackson puts up wild numbers. Like, his stats flew off the page last year, and he still didn't win MVP. Plus, they've got Derrick Henry. They've added, made some good additions to that secondary. Gonna go with the Ravens here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the AFC, while it's starting to get more competitive, it's still this top-heavy conference, right? It's Ravens, it's Bills, it's Chiefs. So we're getting more competitive than we've seen in a while because, you know, the Bengals are always kind of hovering right there. The Chargers are better. The Broncos are better. But until we see otherwise, I think you have to stick with a team that continues to dominate. And Lamar Jackson is not going to surprise me if he finally gets over the hump this year. I think it's going to be Buffalo. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, it's the Ravens. Double D.
The greatest preseason and regular season team in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens take the division.
Double D hates the Ravens in the playoffs.
No, no. I don't hate the Ravens. I'm just, once again, Lamar Jackson is who he is until proven otherwise, and will choke like he always chokes in the playoffs.
Okay. D-Day!
I hate the Ravens. Their fan base annoys me. Anyway, I have them winning, though. So, you know, good for you guys.
Did you see, at least I'll give the Ravens credit for this, like what they're doing with their concessions this year?
Yeah, why is everyone in the NFL not doing that? That's a just regularly priced thing, so you don't have to pay $7 for a soft pretzel.
Yeah, did you guys see this? Flock-friendly fare. Say that a few times. They have a barbecue chicken sandwich, $4.99. Nachos, $4.49. A hot dog, $3.49. A pretzel, $1.99. Oh my God. French fries, $3.49. 12-ounce beer, $4.99. I mean, as far as NFL stadium prices go, this is pretty amazing. More stadiums should do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens when
I think here for the Titans, they charge like $25 for a cheeseburger. It's crazy. They have no business doing that. We don't even have a nice stadium.
Yeah, you're building a new one. Were you saying, Double D?
I was just going to say, that's what happens when you downgrade the quality of meat and product. You can charge less.
In the pretzel?
You can get cruddy dough.
Do you have an insider scoop on the meat downgrade in Baltimore?
I worked in the food industry. That's just food industry 101. If the quality of the product isn't as good, you don't have to charge as much.
Oh, okay. Double D with some food industry speculation here on what's going on in Baltimore. All right. I good for the fans, though. Ultimately, it's expensive enough to go to an NFL game, right? So if you can save some money on the concessions, I am all about that. Okay, here we go. AFC South, Chelsea.
More chalk for me. And listen, if you do like the Texans, like I do, to win the AFC South, you can get them at a decent price at minus 105. So I think this is a bet worth making. It's still the quarterback I trust more, and I do know that there are concerns on the offensive line. But here's the thing. I feel like Trevor Lawrence is very similar to Justin Herbert, and that it's very easy to fall in love with the potential. But we have not seen an upward trajectory for Trevor Lawrence when it comes to his completion percentage, when it comes to his touchdowns. And I understand a lot of that has had to do with inept coaching every year when it comes to the Jags. But it's still difficult for first-year head coaches. I think Liam Cohen could be a good head coach. I know he's injected some new life, albeit kind of creepy and weird at times. But I think it's a year away for the Jags. So I'm still going to go with the Texans here at minus 105 to win the AFC South.
You know what? This is where I'm going to switch things up. Finally, a little difference here. I'm going to go Jacksonville. I'm not in love with the Jags, but I feel like... Oh, Duval. You know, as much grief as we've given Liam Cohen over that quote, even Baker Mayfield talked about how as soon as he heard that, you know, he texted him like, what are you doing? Because they worked together in Tampa. But Baker Mayfield had a career year under Liam Cohen, and I was reading an article about how Liam Cohen is really switching everything up with Trevor Lawrence, like from his footwork to his mechanics to his decision-making, and particularly his footwork. Like, from now on, instead of putting your left foot ahead of your right foot in the shotgun, we're going to switch it up. Right foot instead of left foot. And Trevor Lawrence has been working on things like that during the offseason. I think that coaching is going to make a difference. So I'm going to go Jacksonville to win the South.
Duval.
All right, Double D.
I'm taking a very Penn State approach to this. I'm taking the Texans as well. Just I think they rebound. Less injuries for the Texans this year makes me want to believe in them a little bit more. And I have to see it to believe it with Trevor Lawrence. And that's what it comes down to for me. I have to see it to believe it. And you just talked about all the changes that Coam is doing with Trevor Lawrence. That's going to mess with him at least a little bit in the first couple of games, maybe the first 4 to 6 games. So to me, that's inconsistency. Leads to maybe some losses that they don't get. I'm going to stick with the Texans to win the South.
Jinx, I'm with you. I'm taking the Fighting Liam Cohens.
Let's go.
Jacksonville. I think they're going to get it done. I think Trevor Lawrence is fine. He's not great, but he's fine. But they have the best wide receiver in that division in Brian Thomas Jr., and Liam Cohen is enough of an offensive mind to get the ball into the hands of Brian Thomas Jr., so I'm taking the Jags.
Yeah, quietly, really awesome
Duval.
Last season.
Duval.
All right, that brings us to the wild card selections. Chelsea, you're on the clock.
All right, so for me, I'm going to go with the Broncos, who I think are very, very good, but I just don't think they topple Kansas City to win the AFC West. I think the Steelers get it done. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has to do that much. I think this is a great team around him, and this is what we've seen from the Steelers. They are great at hitting that 9-win plateau. Maybe they'll lose in the first round, but I do think they make it to the playoffs. And then the Bengals. This is my heart saying, Chelsea, just believe in Joe Burrow and that offense. How could you not? Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, you got Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to score 50 points a game. And you know what? Maybe they have to with that defense. But I do think they sneak in the playoffs. They'll win like the last 6 games of the year. That's usually what they do. So those are my teams. Broncos, Steelers, Bengals.
I'm going Bengals. Joe Burrow, good enough to get them to the playoffs. Broncos love their defense, top 10 defense. They got even better in the offseason. And the Texans get in just by virtue of the fact that they play in a weak division. Double D.
I am going Bengals, Steelers, and Chiefs.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where the Chiefs would fit in there.
I got the Bengals, the Texans, and the Chargers. I happen to think a little bit more highly of the Bengals defense than most because I think Shamar Stewart, now that he's there, is going to be pretty good on the outside. So I'm going Bengals, Texans, Chargers.
Okay, this is it. We got about a minute to go. Everyone picks their winner of the AFC, starting with you, Chelsea.
Ooh, I don't feel great about this one. This is a gut feeling play. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, not a bad pick. I'm going to go Bills. I think it's because I want the Bills to finally break through more than anything else. But they certainly have the same odds as the Ravens right now, both plus 340 to win the AFC. I am going with Buffalo. Double D.
T-Swift's doing the halftime show at the Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs. Come on. They're not going to let that not happen in the scripts.
I'm with Chelsea. I'm taking Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to finally get over the hump and play on Super Bowl Sunday.
Ah, well, you mentioned there is a report from Allison Mastrangelo from Atlanta who says NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on the Today Show says it's a maybe Taylor Swift could perform at halftime of the Super Bowl. Here we go. Coming up next, it's not too late to draft your fantasy team, so we're bringing Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight next on the Daily Network. Great to have you with us on the eve of actual NFL football. Coming up on the show, the guru himself is here to help you with your fantasy team. We've got Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight in just moments. So the one thing about Brad that we know, one of many things we know, is that he has a great background. So we'll get into his knickknacks and kind of take a look at that when you see him on the air. Do you have a particular knickknack or something? Doesn't even have to be in your background, because your background is, you know, I would say less busy than Brad's. Brad's looks great. But yours is more simple. But do you have a knickknack that means something to you, like some sort of bobblehead that Jake had when he was playing or something like that?
I feel like even the word knickknack, like, causes cringe within me. Oh. I am somebody who likes a very clean house.
How about a collectible?
I don't know if this is because of, like, my generation's upbringing, is that, like, a lot of our parents had a ton of knickknacks, and it's just too much. To the point where you see, like, a lot of millennials' houses are very bare and very simple. And, like, that's how I like things. I don't like a bunch of clutter. So, like, I'm not a big knickknack person. Like, you will not catch me with, like, a collectible collection of, like, figurines.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, it just feels creepy to me. I'm not a sports memorabilia person either, because I think now, like, for the younger generation, I like, you know, collectibles or like bobbleheads or whatever, but I think more people would rather have like a picture with their favorite athlete as opposed to like a signature or like a bat or something.
You prefer like NFTs, like the Bored Ape collection or something like that. Remember that? For a hot second, it was like red hot and then just like died down so quickly.
Just don't like clutter. Yeah. Like, I feel like you're like that, too. Like, you don't like clutter, right?
No, I don't. But I have, you know, I have, like, collectibles and stuff like that. A few that are up, you know. Like, I have a few things that mean something to me that aren't, you know, maybe not on display, but that I certainly have that over time, like, that I brought together that I kind of, I don't know, it means something to me based on a certain time period, a certain athlete, whatever it is. So, I don't know. Just kind of curious. But I feel like I walk into your house now and be like, where's your stove? No, too busy for me. No clutter in here. Just a wide open space. Sofa and
TV. Well, now people are like, you need a container for your remote. How dare you let guests see that you own a remote? Get that clutter out of here. Like, that's what it is today.
Well, I'm sure Brad's like, why did I wake up early for this? Let's bring him in. Brad Evans, you know him as co-host of BetMGM tonight on the BetMGM Network. Weeknights from 7 to 11, also host of the Fade 5 podcast. Good morning, my friend. Now, I mean, see, you, this is what I'm talking about. You have all sorts of awesome collectibles.
Hola, amigos! Behind me, I have all kinds of just wild knickknacks, unfortunately, those are called. But yeah, I mean, there's some fun stuff. I got a Michael Jordan autographed baseball right here.
Oh.
I got my Ryan Fitzpatrick oversized head. I got a David Robinson. I was a big Spurs fan as a kid. Church's chicken signed photograph behind me as well. Outstanding stuff there. And one of my favorites right now, getting down with my dude Chase Brown, a bottle of maple syrup with his name and the U of I logo on it. I'm only like 15 minutes away from the University of Illinois campus. They sent me a box of propaganda when he had some mild Heisman hype a couple of seasons ago. And now he's all the talk, all the rage of fantasy football. It's glorious.
All right, so can I ask you about that? Chase Brown,
sure.
Enlighten us, because I feel like you're acting like this is like a known thing, and I understand, like, if you're deep in the weeds of fantasy football, you probably know what he's talking about, but I don't. Enlighten me.
Yeah, Chase Brown is a guy who is on a meteoric rise right now. Consistently, he was going around round three in 12-team drafts just about a month ago. But in drafts that were conducted over the last like 48 hours, so people waiting until literally the 11th hour to select their fake franchises, he's ascended to the back end in some cases of round one, guys. And it's completely understandable, because Chase Brown is a guy that is not peak efficient, but mildly efficient in some of the important advanced metrics and measurements that are out there. As tracked at Pro Football Focus, he was top 20 in total missed tackles forced last season, top 20 in yards after contact per attempt. The coaching staff has said, we have constructed the entire offensive ground game around Chase Brown and his skill set this year, and he's a guy that's going to catch 60 balls as well, so he can beat you through the air, he beat you on the ground, and he is immersed. He is going to be the main man, probably going to command upwards of 80-85% of the team's opportunity share because they don't have a whole lot of competition for touches, and arguably the most explosive offense in the league. So even if they fall behind like they often did last year, he's not going to leave the field because of his adept and soft hands. If they have a commanding lead, he's the guy that's going to ground and pound and salt away the clock. Get down with my dude, Chase Brown. And chuck some of that maple syrup. He's got to have a banner campaign.
I mean, this is the time to do it. It's a morning show, right? You got some pancakes, some eggs, you got some syrup. You got to have that as well. But let me ask you this, because you've been doing this for a long time. You're an expert in this area. What is the one thing that fantasy players should not do? Like a cardinal mistake that you see on a regular basis and you think, oh, man, bad move.
Yeah, look, I think it's buying into recent narratives. I'll give you a case in point. You're right there in the nation's capital. That backfield is all the rage, all the talk of fantasy football. And you might say, really? Ja'Cory, Kroski, Merritt, Bill? Yeah, people are thinking they're going to pay their random bills selecting JCM in their drafts this year. And I say, pump the brakes. A guy whose value, he was like a double-digit round pick. So in the beer fuzzy hours of your fantasy draft, about a month ago, you're able to steal him. Then that ascension began. He kept rising and rising and rising. And I saw in a draft over the weekend, he went in round five of a 12-teamer. That's, cue the Cypress Hill, the background. Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain. It's just downright stupid. People buying hook, line, and sinker into that momentum that he supposedly gained. Now, it's a full-blown RBBC. Dan Quinn was asked pointedly by a reporter shrewdly about a week ago, who's going to be your primary short yardage and goal line guy? Did he say JCM? No, he said Chris Rodriguez, who went over 20 miles an hour on his open field touchdown sprint he had a couple of weeks ago in the preseason. He's dropped some weight. There was a featured story on him in The Athletic yesterday that I read. I think he's a guy that's going to be the primary ball carrier in week one, yes, over JCM, yes, over Austin Eckler, who is still RB1 on that depth chart. But that is a classic case of people buying into the recency bias and injecting it in their veins, and they're going to sorely regret it after the first 3 weeks of the regular season. That, my friend, is a cardinal sin too many people commit to on a year-in, year-out basis in fantasy drafts.
All right. Well, part of the reason why I like to talk to fantasy people is that you're very good at finding, like, under-the-radar people that, like, of course, we know, like, the main receivers in football, and of course, they're probably going to have good years. But, like, from a betting standpoint, like, those numbers are going to be higher when you look at season-long props. Who's an under-the-radar receiver this year that you think is going to put out some good numbers?
Yeah, a guy that's not getting enough love right now on the national scene. We've talked him consistently and repeatedly on BetMGM tonight is the golden child, Matthew Golden of the Green Bay Packers. You look at what Jordan Love said about him a couple of weeks ago during the exhibition and camp season. He called him, quote, a stud, end quote. His words, not mine. And if you think about Golden's situation, he's really been the only healthy option that this Green Bay organization has had on the field at wide receiver over the last several weeks. Dontavian Wicks was dealing with some nicks and scrapes, Romeo Dobbs, and of course, Jaden Reed with that Jones fracture. Golden has a prime opportunity to start off the season very much on the right foot. I grabbed him in the week one market. I did a little stepladder, I call it. I took the over on his receiving yards prop, which is right now in the mid-40s at BetMGM. I looked at the alt markets as well, grabbed him at 60-plus at plus money. Hell, I even took him at 75-plus, even more plus money. I think he is going to make a cannonball splash in his regular season debut against Tate Schwab because he's going to see a lot of Terry and Arnold in coverage. If there is a wink link in that defensive backfield for the Motor City Cats, it is clearly Arnold. He was outside inside the top 75 in coverage grade a season ago, according to PFF. So Matthew Golden, you got him at a wide receiver for price in a 12-team draft. Congratulations. Bravo, gamer. He's going to turn a tidy profit for you this year.
We're chatting with Brad Evans. He is co-host of BetMGM tonight right here on the BetMGM Network. That is weeknights from 7 to 11 p.m. in the East. Also host of the Fade 5 podcast. Brad, so how do you handle, I know I'm asking basic guy questions here. It's basic girl season here on the show. You know, it's pumpkin spice latte time, all these things. But how do you handle mid-season pickups, particularly if you're paying for those pickups? Do you have a strategy in how you go about that?
Yeah, look, at a case, take it on a case-by-case basis. You know, a lot of leagues implement what's called a free agent acquisition budget. Is also called FAB. And a lot of leagues that institute a FAB approach to free agency, genius, and bravo to you, because it's equal opportunity for all the people in your league, unlike the waiver wire pecking order. If you have the top waiver wire, great, you're going to get dibs on the first hot commodity to come off the wire. But if you're dead last, you got no chance. With FAB, everybody blind bids, and the highest bid ultimately wins. I live by what's called the rule of three. I don't make any rash moves until I see a three-game sample size. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. You know, if a guy unfortunately suffers a catastrophic injury and, you know, the next man up is going to be entrenched, going to be locked into a vigorous workload, specifically a running back, or if you're in a super flex league, which you can start a second quarterback, that backup quarterback, you know, is going to be under center for a long duration of time. Yeah, you got to slap the wallet and, you know, go ahead and shell out some of that FAB cash. But generally speaking, it's kind of a slow drip for me throughout the course of the year, because the one thing we know, it's a violent sport, and it's going to be there's going to be a ton of turnover week in and week out in terms of rosters. You know, some guys are lose out because of the injury imp, who is always menacing, always sinister, and always lurking in fantasy land, and other guys just lose out because they royally suck. And the coaches want to make sure that they institute a better, you know, schematic and better overall strategy and plan to try to maximize a team's production. So, again, you got to really take it on a case-by-case basis. I have slapped the wallet early and spent a lot of FAB cash, you know, in the first 5 weeks of the fantasy season. Still really regretted it, because as the season rolls on, if you're very much afloat, very much in the postseason race in your league, you want to have some FAB cash down the home stretch to fill those holes if they do arise because of injuries and ineptitude.
All right, so we have like a minute left, and we were talking about under-the-radar guys. Let's go to the least under-the-radar player in the NFL right now, Travis Kelce. I think usually from a betting standpoint, it is difficult to bet on the people who get on headlines because usually there is no value. But you look at the situational spot for Travis Kelce this year with the receiver core lacking depth for the Chiefs. Travis Kelce has lost weight. And obviously, there is a rapport between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And plus, he was dealing with injuries last year. What can we expect from Travis Kelce this year on the field?
Yeah, look, I think you're going to see some flashes of the old Travis Kelce. But is he going to exceed 700 receiving yards this year? No. I'll stop you right there. I would take the under right now as receiving yards prop at BetMGM. However, I would take the over on 4.5 receiving touchdowns, largely because Rashee Rice is going to be out in those first several weeks of the regular season. He's going to be a point of emphasis, but I think he's going to lose out on some snaps to Noah Gray in between the 20s as the season progresses. So when Rice does return, I think he'll take more of a backseat on that area of the field, but he's going to be a fixture inside the red zone because Patrick Mahomes is always looking for him in those situations. Still very savvy and a smart route runner, so we can get that separation. Just don't go bonkers, folks. I know he's put a ring on it. Congratulations, kids. The guy's never going to make it, clearly. But I think Travis Kelce will have a fine, not a spectacular fantasy season. I do feel you're overspending on him right now as he is going TE5 at average fantasy drafts. I think he's going to finish more in that 7 to 10 range when the dust settles.
You can check out his fine work as co-host of BetMGM tonight, weeknights from 7 to 11, right here on the BetMGM Network. Also host of the Fade 5 Pod and on X at Noisy Huevos sits our good friend Brad Evans. Brad, thanks for waking up, my friend.
Appreciate it, Mingos, and get down with my dude, Chase Brown. See ya.
Well, now I want pancakes.
I was thinking the same thing. And I want that maple syrup, that exact maple syrup on my pancakes. Looks delicious. But, you know, he'll probably keep it as a keepsake, which is the smart thing to do. Although I will say, if he didn't win the Heisman, I might be like, yeah, I don't know. I'm hungry this morning. Maybe I'll go for it.
Yeah. Or you could just go to Cracker Barrel. They have those little individual syrup bottles, which I know people are mad about the rebrand.
No, I'm not going there.
But the syrup bottles are still awesome.
I'm so pissed about the rebrand. Even though they're going back, I'm just never going to Cracker Barrel again. So stupid. I can't believe people get upset about that. Thank God Uncle Herschel is back. I didn't know what I was going to do if he wasn't leaning on that barrel. Coming up next year on the show. You know what time it is. We're going to tell you our favorite plays on this midweek edition and find out what's going on with the Chalk Donkey. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. We're having a great day. Great morning. Thanks for waking up with us. I'm Michael Jenkins. She's Chelsea Messenger. Best bets coming up. Donkster's here. NFL football tomorrow night. When I go home today, Chelsea, I got to play a little game. And that game is called Can I Squeeze in an App? I don't know. Because, yeah, I got to go and get some allergy shots. That'll be fun. And then we have someone coming to clean our house because Catherine's mother, the lovely Catherine's mother, is coming tomorrow. So we want to make sure the house looks really good. And they're coming at 12:30. So can I slide in a nap like between 10:30 and 12:30? I think I can if I can make myself fall asleep. I just got to make sure that I don't drink any more coffee. But I think it can be done. That's my big challenge for today. Big day for this guy.
I do think even if you don't sleep that much, the act of laying there and resting your eyes for an hour, like, it feels restorative in some some aspect, right? Like, even if you don't get, like, REM sleep, which you probably won't in an hour, because here's what I do in, like, an hour nap. I lay there for a bit, and then I look at my phone. I'm like, all right, how much time do I have left? Okay, close your eyes. And I repeat this process for, like, the next 45 minutes until it's, like, oh, I have 12 minutes left for me to nap, and I am still awake. So sometimes hour naps can be stressful for that reason.
That's true. The one lucky thing is, which it's good and bad, is that because we live right in the city, there's a ton of things that you can walk to. And I mean right around the corner, like less than a five-minute walk. I would say, a two-minute walk tops is a really nice coffee shop. And it's empty during the day, right? Or pretty empty. So I'll roll in there as soon as I wake up. And I usually get something super strong, which is nice. But then sometimes I overdo it. Like, I get the red eye. You know what a red eye is? It's a coffee with a couple of espresso shots inside. So that just, I mean, you'll be wired. But then it takes me forever to come down. So I have to balance that out. Like, I want to stay up now that I'm up, now that I have to be up. But also, I don't want to be tossing and turning till midnight. It's such a delicate balance. I mean, these problems that I have. I mean, I need to go to therapy. These first world problems. And I hear myself speaking. I'm like, ooh, did the coffee keep you up?
I think the worst part is when you look at your cat and you're like, man, I wish I had the life of a cat. Where you, like, sit around and nap all day. Like, I don't know what my cat does, but I'm pretty sure she sleeps, like, 23 hours of the day. And it sounds amazing.
Yeah, what's Dabby do up to now? What's the latest?
Sleeping.
That's
she
it?
She sleeps all the time.
She's just sleeping all the time? All right. Just double checking.
You have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what cats do. Like, they're active a little bit, but, like, most of the day, they're napping. And that sounds aspirational to me.
That does sound amazing. Bijou's he's just very finicky. I mean, all cats are a little odd because they're cats. But then, like, yesterday, I was sitting on the couch while Larry, my new best friend, the electrician, is upstairs hiding the wires and hanging our TV. And all of a sudden, I was like, something is watching me. And 99 times out of 100, whenever someone comes over, Bijou's super scared. He's in the closet hiding upstairs. And I'm just like, he's not coming out until everybody's gone. And all of a sudden, I glance to my left. I'm downstairs on the couch. And through the cushions, like, there's a space between the windowsill and our sofa, and I see these two beady eyes. I'm like, he is just back there. hanging out and staring at me. And I looked over, and sure enough, he was there. Man, I got some blockbuster stories today. I think I'm going to write a book. The Electrician, The Cat, The Nap. Sounds like a bestseller that I'm just talking out through the air for everybody.
Well, it could be a kid's book, because Jake's like, I have a five-year-old, and I'm reading some of these children's books. I'm like, who wrote these? They're like the most random things. And it's like, if you give a mouse a cookie, the cookie's probably going to want milk. And it's the most basic thing. And this is like a nationwide bestseller. Like that If You Give a Mouse a Cookie book. I think I had that when I was little. Like, I need to get into writing children's books because it feels very simple to me.
It seems like it's one of those things that it sounds very simple. And when you probably tried to do it, they'd be like, I don't like the storyline here. Just too many mice in your version. I don't know. Not a bad idea, though. I mean, once those things catch on, they catch on. Just like bet sweats. People love their bet sweats. Joe O, Sammy P getting ready to power rank their NFL season bets. They will also discuss which dogs are alive and barking in week one. Nate Collins from the Greenlight Podcast will join at 9:20, and AJ Brzezinski will be along at 11 o'clock to talk some baseball. All right, I don't believe it. For the first time in a long time, Chelsea, you have a bigger card than I do. So let's tell you who we like tonight.
Time to place your bets.
Chelsea, what do you have for us?
Ah, yes, my huge card of two bets. All right, best bet of the day is going to be a pitcher prop on Blue Jays starting pitcher Shane Bieber. Going to go under 2.5 earned runs for -135. Shane Bieber is somebody who has won a Cy Young, and he's already flashed, you know, some signs of getting back to form. Because, listen, he has been on the injured list. He's made two starts since returning, and he's finally back on scheduled rest where he's not taking a week off in between starts. His pitch count is up. And the numbers across the board have still been really good. Even in his first start back against the Marlins, he went 6 innings, only gave up 1 earned run, and had 9 strikeouts. Today, he faces the Reds, who are a little bit of a different offense than the last team that he faced in the Brewers. Brewers are probably the best team in baseball right now. And he went 5 1/3 and only gave up 2 earned runs with 6 punchouts. Meanwhile, the Reds today have the second worst WRC plus in all of the big leagues over the last month. I think he can shut down the Reds. We'll go with under 2.5 earned runs for -135 for Shane Bieber.
All righty. Just one bet on the card for me. I'm trying to slow my roll a little bit. I feel like I've had these monster cards, and I've been very mid. So I'm going to slow down a little bit, see how that goes, and then I'll probably get excited as football comes back towards this weekend and tomorrow night as well. Cubs money line, -140, hosting the Braves. I cannot believe you're getting this price at BetMGM. Make it legendary. Bryce Elder going for Atlanta. Cade Horton going for the Cubbies. Bryce Elder has been pretty good. Pretty good. Very good against the Phillies last time out. One run over 7 innings of work. But if you look at a lot of his matchups, he's faced some light-hitting teams. Giants, Rangers, Rockies, White Sox. Now he goes up against the Cubs at Wrigley. The Cubs 6th in slugging, 7th in OPS against right-handed pitchers. And I did mention Cade Horton. He has been almost unhittable at home this season with an ERA under 2. If you look at other books right now online, at some places this is hovering around -160. You can still get it at -140 at BetMGM, and I think this is great value on a Chicago team that has crushed it at Wrigley. So let's go Cubs on the money line today against the Braves.
Yeah, I'm going to be on that as well. As a value play, and also situationally speaking, like, this just screams Cubs to me. The Cubs at home, like you mentioned, 43-25 as favorites. When the market gives them credit, they're 63-36. Meanwhile, you look at the Braves away from Atlanta this year, 29-44, and as underdogs this year, they are 13-31. Plus, they've only won one game over their last 6, so I'll go with the Cubs as well.
All right. Do we have any football tonight? Just like some random football game, do we not? Okay.
Womp,
I just got the thumbs down from Denton.
No football available.
All right. Because, you know, normally there'll be some like random game on a Tuesday that you don't think about, some game that probably isn't on your radar. But no, not tonight. Okay, baseball it is. All right, before we find out what's coming up on Bet Sweats from one of the co-hosts. I believe it's Joe O's turn today. If Joe O shows up, I don't know. It's a 50-50 shot. Maybe, maybe so. All right, here we go. Let's find out what the doctor has to say, and then we'll see if Joe O is along. Doctor, get on in here.
Good morning. I think it's time that I had a hold in.
Doctor, the season starts tomorrow night.
Oh, I didn't realize this was a football team. Dad, it's radio. I can hold in anytime I want.
Okay. Well, then, what are your demands?
Well, Chelsea doesn't like me, and everyone else is a dude. I'm tired of this boring Monday through Friday sausage party. And Double D counts for two sausages.
Oh, how about that? Also, if I remember correctly, you hit on Sammy P last week.
That's different. He has very special features.
No. Okay. All right, well, we got to get to Joe O. He's here. So let's hear your bet.
Brewers hosting the Phillies. Sledgehammer me.
Wow. Okay. It's not really your bet, but all right. What's coming up next? On Bet Sweats? Oh, it's our... There he is. That's what I'm talking about. It's football season. Rise and shine. It's Joe O. Joe O, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Good.
Good, buddy. How are you? You seem good. Very not thrilled to be here.
What? Why do you guys always say that? It's just not the case. I'm saving all good. My energy for 7 to 8 minutes from right now.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yes. Yes.
Well... It's hard to follow Brad Evans. You know, like, I feel like me and Joe are similar in the fact that we're not necessarily high-energy people. But, like, listen, that's not my role on this network. Like, I'm never going to be Brad Evans, and that's fine.
Yeah. You can't have... I'm not saying that Jenks is that guy. You don't want two people screaming and yelling, right? Because you're trying to stop each other the entire time. Yeah. It's not going to work. Like, I don't know what Sam's going to do. In a moment, you know, and he'll just start going off on something. I'm not going to try and match that because that wouldn't be good for any listeners, I don't think. But, well, if you had the red eye, maybe you would, Jenks, on a regular basis. Two shots of espresso. Okay, so back when I would have to go into the studio and I worked with our boss, Mitch Rosen, in studio, every morning, same time, intern goes to Starbucks.
Okay.
Mitch, 6 shots of espresso straight.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Like, oh, that's how you keep going. Because he's at work early.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's a grinder.
He just shamed me.
Is it it's good like, for him? That's, is it good for his heart?
He's like, hey, I'll see you in single A ball, kid, because I just did 6. Enjoy your 2 afternoon espresso shots.
Uh-huh.
Legendary. Joe, good to see you. Have a great show. Looking forward to listening to you and Sammy P. That's going to do it for us here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Chelsea Messenger, I'm Michael Jenkins. Thanks for spending your midday with us here on a Wednesday. We will see you bright and early after some espresso shots at 6 a.m. Bye.